If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
You've been listening to Methamphetamine from the Old Crow Medicine Show's latest release, Live at the Ryman. The Old Crow Medicine Show shouldn't really need any introduction. After 2 decades of making pure Americana music, their body of work is well known. They won awards for their 6 studio records, and they have been mainstays on tours and festival lineups. This veteran outfit has played all the big rooms, and virtually everyone I know knows the song Wagon Wheel. So with the announcement that they were releasing a live record, fittingly one whose tracks were recorded at the Ryman, I knew I had to get someone to talk with us. So we sat down with mandolin player Corey Younce to get the lowdown on the new record and, well, lots more. Our conversation started when I asked Corey, now over 2 decades in, what has been the biggest highlight so far?
Well, obviously becoming Opry members was quite the pinnacle for us. You know, we had done the Grammy thing and we won Best Folk Album and we won the Train tour was incredible. We won a Grammy for that. But I really think as a unit, as a band, the Opry membership has been really, really important to us because that's for life. Right. There's no renewals. There's no, oh, next year you got to do that again and try and win another award or a trophy. It's, you've already won it, and and we can be wheeled in wheelchairs for the rest of our life and go to the Grand Ole Opry.
I just have visions of Minnie Pearl now doing that.
Absolutely.
I don't know why, but that's what came to me right away. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because you guys have been at this and you've seen sort of waves of different musical genres come and go, and there seems to be right now an upswing, for whatever reason, around music that you kind of have been playing for the last, you know, 20 years or maybe even longer, probably even longer. But there seems to be I don't know if you want to call it bluegrass or newgrass, but there seems to be a swing towards this kind of music, whether it's the Dusters or Green Sky Bluegrass or Keller there just seems to be a lot more people playing this kind of music. Do you feel good? I mean, I know that, you know, the likes of Doc Watson and those folks set the bar for this kind of music, but in a contemporary way, you guys did, and now there's a whole bunch of bands playing this music now.
Well, the Americana Association and all its glory and everything has really blossomed here in Nashville, I should say, and I think that has a big part of it, whole, and, you know, it can't really be described. I mean, I guess I would describe Americana as kind of a country rock thing, which is more of what you're saying. A lot of people are doing now. You got all these young guys, Billy Strings, Molly Tuttle, all these people are playing roots music. And I think a lot of it is attributed to the Americana Association. I mean, it's really like, you know, in the mid 2000s, nobody was trying to play Americana music. You know, we weren't going into House of David with Justin Townes Earl and saying this record's going to be an Americana record. Well, people are doing that now, and they realize that Americana is becoming a powerful category, and it's a welcoming category, and people tend to have a good home there as opposed to trying to fit in the country genre or fit in the hip hop genre. Or what they are. Americana is very open, I would say, and it's a good home to be in.
Does it speak to the authenticity of lyrics? Does it speak to the quality of the playing? What is it that makes this kind of larger genre now really what people are striving for?
I would say a combination of both, really. Maybe leaning more toward lyrics and writing, but I would say both. I mean, it's a good home for musicians, not just songwriters.
When the team sets out to write songs now, do you think about the Grammys? Do you think about Wagon Wheel? Do you think about the past sort of canon of music and trying to emulate the success, or is it always about starting fresh and being real about the music that you want to create in the moment?
I think it's more so in our case to try and keep advancing. You'll just kill yourself if you're trying to ride another wagon wheel or win another Grammy. And we look at it as, not to sound condescending or cocky or anything, but been there, done that. You know, we did that, and now let's do something else. Let's go to Abbey Road and make a record, or shoot high, and shoot different than what you've done in the past. Try and stay fresh, and do something different and something that you haven't done before. You know,
one of the things that I don't believe you've done before, or at least haven't done too often, is release a live record. And October 4th. You're releasing live at the Ryman. We spoke about the impact of the Opry, and of course, the Ryman is home to the Opry. How important is it that you release, a live record at a place that is not just important to you, but pretty important to this community and important to the nation, really?
I think it's really great that we're releasing another live album, especially because it's been so long since there has been a live album of Old Crow. In fact, the last one was live at the Station Inn, which is also a very hallowed ground, a piece of hallowed ground here in East Nashville, or in, Nashville. Mm-hmm. I mean, Station Inn is like a Lego, and everything else is built up around it now, and it's just this one little home of, old-time music and stuff, and But being able to release an album from the Ryman is just so awesome, so awesome. I mean, it makes me always want to listen to Emmylou Harris's live at the Ryman album, and I'm very excited about it.
What did you guys know going in that was the plan, that you were going to record a record at the Ryman, or was it something that sort of came together afterwards, after you heard the tape and realized that this is something that you wanted to do?
Well, each song is from a different show.
Right.
Well, not every song, but it spans from 13 to 19. And, we've been recording every show that long, or maybe even longer. And we just realized that, we've got all this material. And rather than, just do one show, we thought it would just be interesting to take, one song from one show and one song from another and, piece it all together.
When you have people in the community like Margot Price, who's making her go of it, and Molly Tuttle, and you mentioned Billy Strings, how happy are you about the future of songwriting and the tradition and everything else? Like, are you ecstatic that these are the types of, never mind musicians, but the types of human beings that are coming forward and carrying on? Not to say that you're done by any stretch of the imagination, but that there are young whippersnappers
right
biting at your ankles, ready to move on with this thing.
Oh, I think it's wonderful, and Nashville is always going to be Music City USA. I really believe that. Even in the 90s, when there was a scare of it because of moving to Branson and everything, it's still hung in there. And so I always think that it will be. And in particular, East Nashville, it seems to be where it's like this little, it's like a little Greenwich Village or something, kind of, where all this wonderful creativity and wonderful human beings are all moving to, and they all live here. And it's not just music. There's a lot of arts and photography and all kinds of interesting people that are moving to this section of town. And, I think it's wonderful. I think it's great. Everyone seems to know their history really well, and know to respect that.
What's next for you guys? I mean, this is a band that's done it all. it's hard to probably capture what's next. You're on tour a little bit this fall, and I'm sure touring remains a critical part of the pie.
Sure.
Are you as a team always writing music together? Are you writing music individually for a new record? How does that process come together?
Well, I think some of the guys have been writing a little bit. Usually we slow down touring a little bit in the fall, and that's when we kind of get together and start writing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's talk of releasing something next year for sure, in 2020. So I imagine that as soon as this tour is over and the winter hits in, that we will all, you know, put on the pea coats and sit in my garage probably and start the writing process. Hopefully we can get a new studio by then and we will have heat.
Yeah. Well, or just get a heater for the garage.
Right.
You're not going to get any sympathy from a guy who lives in Canada about the heat in Nashville.
Right. No kidding.
To me, that's just a spring day.
Sure.
But talk a bit about the people you've played with. I mean, the even going back, you know, to have the opportunity to play with Willie Nelson and Mumford and Sons and the Lumineers and Prine and all the other people you've played with. I mean, is it real, the community, the Nashville community that exists today outside of the new country thing? You know, which we can talk about another day, but is that community, that community is real, right? I mean, that community is not getting caught up in the new country thing, but really wants to make real, authentic music and carry on their tradition, right?
It does. It actually does. I mean, absolutely. And that's going back to the whole Americana category. It's just kind of, you know, I think some of these, you know, other artists that have been established and have been around longer than even than we have, you know, you got your John Prine, you got your Jim Lauderdale, you know, a lot of the people over at Dead Reckoning, which was a record label. I mean, you know, all of these people have always been open more so to young people and trying to, you know, hey, come on the road with us. And, you know, why don't you go on the road and open for us, as opposed to the CMAs and the Country Music Association. It's just, I would say it's just a friendlier, environment and a better place to be is in the Americana category. I mean, why fight the, you know, machine when it's just kind of like, well, the hell with the machine, come over here. And, you know, it's, we're still analog over here and we're still
DIY and stuff. And actually, it's actually taken a turn, right? Where being part of the machine was probably very lucrative for many years. Mm-hmm. It's probably just, unless you're top tier artist, it's probably better to be, you know, organic and DIY.
It is. It's safer and it's easier and it's much, you know, smoother to manage. And
so is the plan to build a studio to incubate your own music, or is the plan to help other musicians who are trying to get a leg up on in the Nashville scene or elsewhere come to Nashville? And
well, record? I mean, nothing's set in stone, obviously, but for now, if we decide to get something, I think it would just be our clubhouse for a while and then possibly open it up to others soon, because we've talked about that and producing other artists. And we've always, you know, a few of us have stressed interest in that over the years. And let's face it, we're all getting older and it's harder to play claw hammer banjo and tap dance all night. So it would be nice to produce some younger artists here in Nashville or from other cities.
Aside from the few artists that we've mentioned, Margot and Billy, who else catches your ear or your eye when you're thinking about up-and-comers that you appreciate as a musician that you see or hear about when you're on the road or just getting records passed to you or scanning through Spotify?
Oh, loving Molly Tuttle these days, and Joshua Headley's always been a favorite of mine. He and I are very close. We've worked together for many, many years here in Nashville and in other groups. Man, there's just so many. I mean, every day. Charlie Worsham, who's been playing with us this year and everything, he's just wonderful, fabulous artist. And there's just so many coming in every day, man.
Well, thank you for this. Thanks for taking the time. Thanks for all of the music. When your kids say, hey, Dad, we want you to hear this song that we learned at camp and it's Wagon Wheel, and you're like, wow, that's pretty cool that you know, younger generations are catching on to you guys. That not only warms my heart as a fan, but I'm sure warms your heart as a musician who's been doing this for a long time.
Absolutely.
That this Americana, this real authentic kind of music thing, continues to grow, and it's in large part to your attitude towards it, and in large part to the great career you've had, and people wanting to grab on. So thank you for that, and thanks for taking the time today.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
What a great down-to-earth guy. Really enjoyed our conversation with Corey, as I'm sure you did. The Live at the Ryman is a gorgeous record, one I think you'll enjoy no matter what kind of music you actively listen to. For more on Old Crow Medicine Show, visit crowmedicine.com. And seriously, listen to Live at the Ryman wherever you get music. Before we leave you, have a listen to Louisiana Woman, Mississippi Man, featuring the awesome Margo Price with Old Crow Medicine Show.
Mississippi heart. See the alligator all the way nearby. Sooner or later they know I'm gonna try. When she waves from the bank, don't you know I know that fish in line I'm gonna see a while ago. There's a Louisiana woman waiting on the other side, and Mississippi River, no it ain't too wide. Love in this Mississippi heart.
Well, I thought I'd found love that I never had till I was wrapped in the arms of a Mississippi man. When he holds me close, feels almost like another hurricane just ripped the coast. And if he can't come to me, I'm gonna come to him. That Mississippi River, I'm gonna swim.
There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Oh, man, oh, I...
Shore is wide, and I've got a gal on the other side.
Mississippi man, I'm losing my mind. Gotta have your loving one more time.
I'm gonna jump in the river, and here I go. Too bad, alligator, you move too slow.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.